Praise the Lord. I certainly appreciate Brother and Sister Estes, and she was reminiscing a little bit last night, and I never forget when those three young ladies sat right up here, and two of them was Erica and Tricia, and I still have it. She was listening, I'm sure, to the message, but Erica drew me one night, gave it to me. I've got all kinds of pictures, and usually they make me look better than I really am. And it's just a joy to see when folks grow up and they don't go a different direction, a different way, but they wholly serve the Lord. And Brother Estes, I so appreciate, it's not a negativism, it's not a, I don't know what the word I'm looking for, but there's just a seriousness about the word of the Lord. And that's what we need in the time that we live in. We need that seriousness about the word of the Lord. Amen. And so with confidence that we're going to hear from God, come ahead, Brother and Sister Estes, and let's just open our hearts to the word. Amen. This evening.
Bless you. Thank you. Amen. Love the Lord tonight, don't you? Appreciate how the Lord's been helping in this meeting thus far. And thank you again. Thank you for your kindness and your prayers, your hospitality that you've always shown toward our family. We thank you for a church that'll pray together and seek the Lord together. You know, I remember years ago, I was sitting around a dinner table. Brother Clendenin was to my right. And someone had a photo of a man. And they presented it to Brother B.H. Clendenin and asked him, said, "Now, do you know so-and-so?" And of course, I was a young guy at the time, and I didn't really understand what he meant when he said this. But he looked at that picture, and he said, "I don't think I know him. I've never had a chance to pray with him." And as a young man, I thought to myself, "Now, what does he mean by that? I don't know him. I've never had a chance to pray with him." But I can tell you, the older I get, you know, you learn something about a person just when you have a chance to experience the Lord together alongside him. You really, there's just something about it when you can come together and pray together. You just walk away saying, "I know that person better than I did before." And I appreciate you just coming alongside us and praying with us. And just getting right in here and knowing that these days are so critical that we live in. And these are the last of the last days. And oh, we need to get closer to God than we've ever been before. And I appreciate a church that'll come together that won't just come to a meeting, say, "Okay, here's a sermon, here's a song, check it off the list, let's see if we can rush out the door." But it'll say, "God, how can we apply this to our life? God, how can I be changed by your word?" I appreciate that so much, church. Thank you. Thank you for getting in each service. Thank you for worshiping the Lord tonight. Amen. I'm going to ask you if you just continue to worship the Lord. I've asked my wife if she'd sing. So let's just get in and get a hold of God tonight. Obey the Lord, Sister Estes.
I remembered another special instance with Brother Hurst as my pastor. And right after, it wasn't too long, I don't think, after he came here as pastor. I remember even as a younger girl sitting on the front row and him preaching about hell. And it scared me so bad, I went back to my mom and dad in the pew. But I am thankful that, you know, he wasn't afraid to share the truth and teach us the truth about God's word and reality. And I was just thinking about today and even talked to my mom a little bit today about that illustration last night about the jacket and how we are nothing in ourselves. You know, I'm just as powerless as a jacket without the Holy Ghost in me, and I just want to be filled with the Lord so I can do something for him and his kingdom. And there's been a lot of times and a lot of trials that I would like to think that I was strong enough to pull myself through it. And a lot of times we try to rely on our own strength at first, because, you know, we don't want to put the Lord out like it does. You know, I don't know what we think, but I've realized that I'm not strong enough. And and I need him to pull me through, and I need him, and he has delivered me many times, and I'm so thankful. It's only by his grace, not my strength, that I've made it this far, and I plan to go all the way, and I can with the grace of God. I almost let go. I felt like I just couldn't take life anymore. My problems had me bound. Depression weighed me down, but God held me close.
Some of you are right on that edge of that breakthrough like she sang about tonight. Some of you are a whole lot closer than what you actually realize. But Satan is doing everything he can to try to blind your mind and try to blind your eyes. and tell you you'll never have that touch and you'll never have that victory and you'll never have that healing. Friend, I want to let you know there's still power in prayer. There's still power in praise. There's still power when we walk with God and God comes down and touches our life. Can we slip up our hands to heaven one more time and magnify the name of the Lord in this house? Hallelujah to God. Somebody lift your voice. Somebody begin to praise Him. Somebody begin to magnify Him. Hallelujah to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord, praise ye the Lord. Thank the Lord, thank the Lord. Matthew tonight, chapter number 7. Praise ye the Lord, praise ye the Lord. You can remain standing for the reading of God's word for just a moment. I appreciate the goodness of the Lord and the good spirit of God that we sense in this house. Matthew tonight, chapter number 7. In verse number 7, when you get there, would you say amen? Thank you again. Thank you again for your sacrifice. Thank you for the meals that have been prepared so far, and they have been absolutely outstanding. Thank you so much. The Word of God reads like this, church, in Matthew 7:7, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Everyone that asketh receiveth, him that seeketh findeth, and him that knocketh it shall be opened. What man is there of you whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? If he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask Him? I mean, if bad fathers can give a good gift, how much can a great father give? I just want to preach just a few minutes here tonight. Few minutes. How many's a few? We won't go there, okay? I want to preach tonight on prayer. Prayer. Simple thought, complex subject. Let's give it a shot. Lift up our hands to heaven. Ask God to have His way in this house. Father, thank you. I thank the Lord for your divine goodness, God. I thank God that your grace, God, you've not let us go. You've not forsaken us, God. You've not, Lord, you haven't written us off, but you're a Father that cares. And Lord, you know exactly where we are tonight. And you know exactly every need that's inside this house tonight. You know exactly every heartache that every family and every individual has come across and facing. I pray, God, let your word have free course in this tabernacle. Let it go forward, God. It will not return void. I pray, God, let it prevail. Let it multiply. Let your hand be upon us and revive your people again. I pray. I give you thanks for this in the lovely, holy name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. Turn around and tell somebody you're glad to see him tonight in the house of the Lord. Praise the Lord. One day I'm going to get the boldness to tell those young people, why don't you text somebody and tell them you're glad to see him in the house of the Lord? I'm not going to do it. I'm kidding. Amen. Friend, there is no substitute for prayer. We can substitute a lot of things, but you cannot substitute good old-fashioned getting a hold of God, calling down heaven and casting out hell. Can you say amen? We can substitute for intellect, but not prayer. We can substitute for enthusiasm, but not prayer. And nobody is going to do your praying for you. It's amazing. We got people that say, would you pray for me for this? Would you pray? We'll come alongside you. We will pray with you and we will pray for you. But nobody's going to pray for you like you're going to pray for yourself. Can you say amen? In fact, when it really gets down to it, there's not another church out there that's going to pray for Union Road like Union Road's going to pray for Union Road. It's not left up to the Methodist. It's not left up to the Baptist. We're not leaning on the Presbyterian or the Church of the Brethren. If God's going to move in this house, it's going to be because men and women inside of this house get a hold of the Lord and start praying one for another and start believing God, because everybody comes back and has a revival of prayer. I said, nobody will do your praying for you. That's up to you, son. That's up to you, ma'am. That's up to you, sir. Now, young person, nobody's going to seek a revival like you're going to seek revival for this youth group. I thank God for mom and dad. I thank God for aunts and uncles. I thank God for leadership. But if you want a genuine move of God, you got to give up the world and come back to a prayer closet and say, Lord, revive our young people and get a hold of them and convict their life. That's a result of prayer. Now, let me be honest with you tonight. I don't understand everything about prayer. I know some of you do. I'm not naming names. I won't go there. But I don't. Brother Aaron, why? Why? Why would God, why would a God that knows everything want me to ask him anything? I don't understand it. Why would God want me to pray? Friend, just because you don't understand prayer doesn't mean you can't use prayer. You're never required to have a PhD in the understanding of prayer before you can use prayer. I'll never forget, years ago, I was at a revival and a man comes to me, it's the last night of the service, and he says to me, he says, Brother Essis, my friend, he's an atheist. I work with him. He's an atheist because he doesn't understand God. Nobody understands God. I said, just curious. What do you and your friend do for a living? He said, we're electricians. I said, he is a hypocrite. What do you mean? I said, doesn't understand God. We don't understand electricity. I know somebody said, well, all you gonna do is just flip a switch and light it. It's a little more complicated than that. It's that we don't understand what's really making that light bulb burn like it's burning. But all I know, one thing, we don't have to come and sit in the dark. You can get some light on the subject. Say amen. And all I know is I don't have to say God. I maybe don't understand it all, but Lord, I will pray. I can see God in prayer. Amen. Hate to tell you this. We don't understand water. How can you take a poisonous gas like hydrogen, a flammable gas like oxygen, cram that stuff together and drink it? H2O, you do it every time, son. Come on. What you doing? We don't understand that, but you ain't got to die of thirst, and you don't have to sit in the dark. And I'm telling somebody, why don't you quit saying, well, I don't understand everything about prayer, and why don't you come back to start praying again and start believing that God still answers prayer and God can change a situation, because somebody can pray and somebody can seek the Lord. We need souls again and to shake themselves and say, Lord, stir me to pray, stir me to seek you, stir me to call on you, stir me to cry out to God. Tell you something, friend. You don't pray to impress God. You don't have to have all the these and the thous and the thuses. Thou knowest this. In fact, I had a man tell me one time, he said, Brother Estes, he said, there was a time in my life when I got down to pray and I was so concerned that if I didn't cross every single T and dot every single I, God was going to find a way to get around answering my prayer. I said, friend, that is not how God works. He's not trying to keep it from you. He's trying to get it to you. You ain't got to present your case to God like some kind of Philadelphia lawyer. There's times you just get down and you begin to ask the Father and you begin to pray. The Lord says you don't use those vain repetitions. You don't have to try to come up with just fancy phrases to impress the Lord. In fact, you know what? You don't pray to impress him, and you don't even pray to inform him. Now, be honest with me here tonight. How many of you have ever tried to inform God? Okay, we'll have a deliverance service for liars, for those that didn't raise their hands. Say amen. You know, you say, now, Lord, I don't know if you know they're doing this, but this is what God knows what they're doing. Be honest with me. How many's ever tried to give God advice? Come on, God, if you would just do this, Lord, if you would just move here, if you would just go there, if you would just do this, then this would happen. You don't pray to impress God, and you don't even pray to inform God. I had a friend of mine. said the IRS come against him. Man, if you ain't got one of them letters in the mail, you ain't lived yet, have you, huh? And he said, I knew I was right on my taxes. I knew I was up front. I knew I was in the clear. And they were telling me, you haven't paid this, you haven't paid that. And he said, I got down and I started praying. And I said, God, if you would just do this and you would just do that. And Lord, if you would just speak to that secretary and just talk to that person. And he said, I felt the Holy Ghost say back to me, child, I have over 1,000 different ways that I can answer this prayer. And you have no understanding of God knows how and God knows when. I come by tonight to tell somebody, you don't pray to try to impress him. You don't pray to try to inform him. What you do is you invite him. You say, Lord, here's my need. Here's my cry. Here's my petition. Here's my prayer. And the loving Father enjoys answering prayer. It's like I heard about that old man one time visiting that church. Said all the way in the back of the church. And the Sunday school lesson that morning was the proper position to pray in. Hallelujah. Is it standing? Is it kneeling? Is it head down? Is it head up? Which is the right way to pray? And at the end of that Sunday school class, that old man raised his hand. He said, I beg your pardon. He said, I know I'm a visitor here, but can I say something? He said, I'm a roofer by trade. And the other morning, he says, I was up on a pretty steep pitch, and I started slipping off that pitch. And right when I got to the edge, there's a big old 16-penny nail sticking out of that drip edge and caught me by my belt loop and turned me upside down. And I was 8 feet in the air, and I was staring at concrete upside down, and I figured that's a pretty good position to pray in. Say, I don't care if you walk. I don't care if you run. I don't care if it's head up, head down. But dear God, give us men and women again. And I say, Lord, I'm going to pray. God, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray. I'm going to seek the Lord. I'm going to call on his name. I'm going to shake my soul and grab a hold of the horns of the altar. Give us souls and I seek the Lord. Somebody give God a hand clap of praise. A fervency that says, God, live in me, breathe in me, move through me. Let your scripture be inside of me and let me be surrendered in God. John 15:7 said it like this. If ye abide in me and my word abide in you, ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done. In the words he says, you let my scripture be in you. You be surrendered in me. My word in you, you and me, ask what you will, and it shall be done. There's been times, Brother Heath, I didn't know what to pray. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to do. Here's what I did. I opened up the Word of God, and I just started reading the Word of God out loud. And Brother Steve, there's been times I've got to the place I said, okay, God, here's where I am. This is what I'm facing right here. Just like this story, just like this man, just like this. This is where I am. Some of you say, well, you know, God doesn't have to hear his word. God doesn't want to. Yes, I believe every father. I believe the Heavenly Father loves to hear his word. I remember a few years back, Sean, got a little quiet in that back room, a little too quiet for kids, say amen. And I peeked on in that back room, and there's little Savannah. And she's pointing her finger at Ashlyn. And I don't even know if Annalise was alive yet. Good night, is that long ago? And here little Ashlyn's all of about, you know, 9 months old. And Savannah looks at her little sister and she says, you say yes, sir, to me. I looked at that, I said, my name's Paul, that's between y'all, goodbye. I eased out of that room. All I can tell you is one thing. She didn't pick that up on her own. She heard that from her father. Come on here. There's things you can say, and you know that ain't your children. That's you through those children. Well, something tells me whenever we begin to quote and use the word of God, the father says, now listen, that ain't Zane. That's me through Zane. That's my word in him. That's my word through him. God, give us souls that use the word of God as a weapon again of choice and to push back the darkness, push back the enemy, and call on God to send the glorious light. Say amen. give us souls again. How to pray. I'm going to try to get down and preach this thing tonight. Just a few moments, hallelujah, just a few moments. Thank you, Jesus. Listen to what Scripture says tonight, friend. It says, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. The Bible says we ought to ask. And when the Bible speaks of asking, it speaks of one thing, desire. If you don't ask, there's no desire. Friend, hear me. Somebody said, our biggest problem is unanswered prayer. I said, no, our biggest problem is unoffered prayer. No longer do we have men and women that really have a desire to see God move? Does it really bother you that nothing bothers us anymore? Does it really bother you that nothing bothers us? We come into church. If we have a move of God, great. If we don't have a move of God, big deal. Hey, you're on the clock anyway, preacher, go. If somebody gets saved, fine. If somebody doesn't get saved, fine. If somebody gets healed, fine. If somebody doesn't get healed, fine. Friend, that is a terrible hard attitude to have when it comes to the work and will of God. We need souls that will shake themselves with an old-time desire that said, Lord, I come into this house to see the hand of God move and to see the miraculous power of God flow. And we're hungry. We're thirsty. We're yearning. We desire from heaven. Most people are just really content with about that much of what God intended them to have. It's like that old man, young guy was walking down that road, looked up, saw that old house. There's a farmer sitting up in that chair, rocking on that chair. And little dogs, that old hound dogs beside him. That old hound dog's crying out, out. Finally, that man stopped, looked up at that farmer, said, something wrong with you, dog? Farmer said, yeah, you're sitting on a nail. The man said, why doesn't he move? Farmer looked down at that dog and heard him yelp one more time, looked back at that man, said, don't hurt bad enough yet. Come on here. Why aren't they hungry for a move of God? Why aren't they hungry for the fullness of God? Because some of them just don't hurt bad enough yet. It just don't hurt bad enough yet. I mean, the bank account looks good. We got more money at the end of the month than we did last month. That's good. None of the youngins are sick. That's good. None of the tires are flat. That's good. Job looks like we're going to get a promotion. That's good. And they're not really hungry yet, friend. Hear me. You don't need to wait until you get into a trial. You don't need to wait until you find yourself in trouble. There needs to be somebody in this house again that will shake themselves and say, Lord, we've got to have a move of God. We've got to have a stirring of God. We've got to have a power from God. We need something that's bigger than our singing and bigger than our preaching and bigger than any organization. We need a divine, sovereign touch of the Lord. Can somebody shout amen? God, give us hearts again that'll have desire to ask. I mean, do you really want something from God? You got to ask. And if you're going to ask, you got to have a desire. If there's no desire, there's no asking. If there's no asking, there's no receiving. Remember about a month ago, we was going down the road, and one of the four, Estes, whatever the plural of Estes is. One was back there. And I know, because I have the spirit of discernment, I know something's wrong. Dad did something wrong. And I looked up in that rear view and I said, honey, what's wrong? I didn't get any Tic Tacs. I didn't get any Tic Tacs. I wanted Tic Tacs. I was white. I wanted Tic Tacs. They're not your kids, my kids, okay? Yours have never done anything close to that, just mine, all right? Now, listen, it's been a good day. If you wanted some Tic Tacs,
You'd ask me for some Tic Tacs. But you didn't want no Tic Tacs. What you really wanted to do was get back in the van and complain that you didn't get what you wanted. Say amen. Kind of almost sound like some church folk that I know. Okay, say amen. If they really wanted, they'd have got it at revival. If they really wanted, they'd have come to prayer. Come on. If they really wanted, they'd have started fasting. If they really wanted, they started praying. But when it didn't come, all of a sudden the fingers started pointing. And they come on here. We need souls again. And I quit the pointing game and the blame game, and get back to the prayer closet and say, Lord, I'm hungry for a move of God in my life.
I got to preach on. I got to move on quickly. I'll never forget, I was in Amalonga, Guatemala. They'd had a real genuine move of God. Just imagine, they'd had a genuine outpouring of the Spirit of God. Started in prayer meetings in the late 1960s. The Catholic Church came against Pentecostal believers. And they had to meet in underground churches. And they kept on praying and they kept on praying. It was about the mid-1990s. God erupted down there. I was down there and I said, take me. I've heard about it, but I want to see it with my own eyes. And they took me to that marketplace. And there I saw carrots bigger than a grown man's forearm. I saw cabbage bigger than basketballs. I saw fields that were beautiful, plush green. And they said these fields were parched and barren before revival came. They now produce 3 crops a year. When my people that are called by my name humble themselves, when they'll pray, when they'll turn from their wicked way, God said, I'll hear from heaven and I'll heal their land. I will heal their land. I will come down and touch their land. They told me, they said, there's no major bars left in that entire city of Amalonga. They said, it is okay to let your baby children walk the streets at night of Amalonga. Nobody will harm them if they're walking the streets at night. Friend, you would be a foolish man to let your babies walk the streets of Dayton, Ohio unaccompanied tonight. You turn your back for 30 seconds, you'd never see those babies again. But when a genuine move of God comes, it still pushes back the darkness. It still confines the evil. You say, Brother Estes, it can't be done. Why do you say it can't be done? Only unbelief says it can't be done. We need souls to say, God, we bind together. We believe together. And you said, if any two shall agree as touching, it shall be done. Friend, what stirs you to pray?
Anything?
Is there anything left? Is there anything left inside of you that God can tap you on the shoulder at 3:00 in the morning and say, we need to talk. We need to talk. I don't say this to impress you, but only to impress upon you. My wife will verify this. There's been many, many nights I'll slowly, softly try to get out of it. She'll always say to me, honey, is everything okay? And I'll always say back, yeah, I need to pray. I need to pray. Is there anything left inside of you? I'm talking to somebody tonight. That'll force you to say, no, I can't eat that meal tonight. I won't be eating tomorrow. I need to pray. I need to seek the Lord. I need to call upon God. I'm going to deny myself. I'm going to deny this old man. I'm going to deny this flesh. And I'm going to get a hold of God. Why would you do that? I can't explain it. All I know is there's a desire that's bubbling on the inside. There is a desire. I've got to see the Lord, sir. I want to see an open door from heaven. I want to see God begin to bless. I can't explain it. You can't explain it. But that's how God moves. Hope I ain't boring you tonight. There's those in this house tonight, right over here. There's people in this house tonight, and you say, Brother Estes, I need an open door. I need an open door. Here's good news for you tonight. God is not a respecter of persons. You go over and look there in Revelation chapter 3, verse number 8, and he's speaking to that church of Philadelphia, and he says there's an open door that no man can shut, and there's a shut door that no man can open, and if he'll do it for them, he'll do it for us. And Brother Brad, he looked at him and said, I know you. Thou hast kept my word. Thou hast not denied my name, and I know thy works. What does that say? That says it will be Bible drilled. It will be
be spirit-filled. It will be victory-thrilled. The same God that opened a door for them is the same God that can open a door for you. Can you say amen? God opens doors for people that are victory-thrilled, Bible-drilled, spirit-filled. God opens doors that no man can shut when there's a desire. When there's a desire, I've got to preach on. God's word says tonight, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. And if asking speaks of desire, seeking speaks of discernment. Friend, God wants you to have a desire. God wants you to have something that stirs on the inside of you and pushes you. But God's also asking you to look on the inside of yourself and ask the question, why do you want what you want? Why do you want it? God, give us desire! Ask, but seek. God, give me discernment. Why do I want what I'm asking for? I'm telling you, for the most part, many of our prayer requests in church. So does anybody have any outspoken requests? Anybody have any outspoken requests tonight? Would y'all pray that I get more stuff? Y'all pray I get more stuff. Would y'all pray that I get more things? Y'all pray I get more things and stuff. Y'all do that, please. What? Why are you asking for what you're asking for? Let me ask it this way. If God gave you what you're really asking for, how is that going to be used to build up the kingdom of God? Woo, pray, honey, pray. If it gets much worse, I'll tell you, start the car, honey, start the car, huh? I mean, if God blessed you with what you're really seeking after, how are you going to use that for His kingdom? Because for those people, you still with me tonight? For those people that are praying, oh God, bless me with more stuff and give me more things. Do you not know that on the great and terrible day of judgment, you'll stand before God and give an account for more stuff and more things? In fact, if you think about it, a man that won't put God first in things and stuff, probably the best blessing God could ever give that man, make him dead broke. Just take away everything. Isn't he a loving God? Oh, doesn't he love you enough to do that? Ouch. I mean, a man that won't give. I had a man. Now I know he's never come to your church, but this guy told me this, okay? He goes, Brother Estes, if I had $1 million, you know what I'd do with that $1 million? I said, what would you do with that $1 million? I know what he's about to say. He said, oh, if I had $1 million, I'd give it all to the church. I want to say, you big fat liar, you. In the name of the Lord. You can't give 10% of what's not yours to God, and then you're going to give 100% of what is yours to God. No, it don't work like that. Boy, that got tight right there, pray. And for a man that won't put God first, if God did bless him with $1 million, what a terrible curse that would be. Because then he would stand before God and the Lord said, I gave you more than I gave this person. How do you give an account for that? The best thing that could ever happen to that man is him to look God in the face and say, Lord, I was broke, busted, and disgusted. I didn't have anything to give you. You can't count off for that. Best blessing God could give him. Take everything away from him. Because he loves him enough to know he's got to answer for it. Let me tell you something. If you're not faithful in little, you won't be faithful in much. Now let me turn that around. If you're faithful in little, let me tell you something, you'll be faithful in much. For that person, you say, if I just had more, man, I'd know. No, you know what you would do if you had more? Here's what you would do if you had more. You would do just about the same thing you're doing right now, but you would only do it more. And if at the end of the month you're $5,000 in debt to Dillard's every month, I ain't against you having a new dress. I thank God I'm not against that at all. But all I'm saying is at the end of the month, that's where you spend your money. If you had $1 million, you'd be $50,000 in debt every month. Say amen. Come on here. And on the other hand, if you put God first and you gave to the Lord, you know what would happen if God started blessing you more? You'd keep on giving to God. You'd keep on working for God. The Lord would start blessing and protecting and touching you. And he said, I'd begin to pour out a blessing upon you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Can somebody say amen? Somebody said, well, y'all pray for my son. Why do you want that son saved? Now listen, I know this is hard to believe, but there's some people, the motive of their heart, the motive of their heart is this. Oh, I want my son to be saved because he's an embarrassment to my family. And if he would just get things straight, it sure would make our name carry a little more weight in this community. Wrong motive, friend. You don't pray God save them because they're the black sheep of the family. You pray God save them because, Lord, you sent your only begotten son, and whosoever believe in you wouldn't perish but have everlasting life. You love that boy. You died for that boy. Jesus, you shed your blood. Would you please redeem what you already purchased at Calvary? We got to have a right. Why do we want to see him saved? Why do we want to see him brought in? Is it just so we can say we have more than that church? God forbid. We got to have hearts that are pure and motives that are right and pray through before the Lord. Say amen. Why do you want more people in that Sunday school class? Why do you want more purse people on that bus? Why do you want more this? God wants to give it. God wants to give it, but God's got to have hearts with discernment. I'm trying to close. I'm trying to close. The Bible said we are to ask God, give us desire. Oh, please, God, grant us holy desire. The Word of God said we are to seek. Oh, God, give us discernment. Why? Why? Why, God, am I asking for this? Let my motives be pure. Let my motives be pure. And lastly tonight, the Word of God says, knock, knock. And Brother Tracy, if asking speaks of desire, if seeking speaks of discernment, knocking speaks of determination. As one man said, God answers prayer in four different ways. Number one, denied. Sometimes God simply says no. Sometimes direct. God simply says yes. Sometimes different. God says yes, but not this, another. Sometimes delayed. God says yes, but not now. And I feel like telling somebody here tonight, prayer delayed is not prayer denied. And there are times, friend, where I have prayed for things and I have prayed for things and I ain't seen nothing budge. I know that ain't good English. Come on here. I've never seen nothing move. But I kept on praying and I kept on seeking the Lord and I kept on. Why? Because I had a desire and I had the discernment and said, Lord, I know I'm praying this for the right reason. I know I'm seeking you for the right reason. And I just felt the Lord impress upon me. You keep on praying and you keep on seeking and you have that determination. You do not give up. I'm telling you, there's some people, if God doesn't baptize them with the Holy Ghost in the first 45 seconds, it's not his will for you to get it that night, is it? Now, I remember when I was up there praying for it. Erica's told me about how the Lord baptized her in the Holy Ghost. Stood right up in service. That's kind of bold for a 13-year-old girl to stand right up in the middle of a service and God baptized her in the Holy Ghost. Me, I was up at the front of the church. And yes, sir, yes, ma'am, I had them dear old saints of God. And they was praying, turn loose. What else were they saying? They come to your church too, didn't they? Come on here. I'm telling you what. I got one man. He's saying, Lord, lift him up. I got a dear old saint of God saying, oh, God, just rest on him. Lord, lift him up. God, just rest on him. I'm thinking, I don't know where to get up or lay down. I don't know where to turn loose or hold on. But all I knew is when they got finished with me, I was holding on to God and I had a determination. And when everybody else turned loose, about that time, the Holy Ghost come over. Hallelujah. I said, the Holy Ghost come over. And I went through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It takes a determination. It takes a determination. We need souls that'll be determined when they get to the altar. I'll not be denied. I'm not letting you go. I got a need, and you can answer. Somebody give him praise. Hallelujah.
We need souls again. Knows what it means to grab hold of the horns of the altar. Say, God, I ain't leaving here. I ain't leaving here. I ain't gonna be like that old hound sitting on that nail saying, God, it don't hurt bad enough. Some of you ought to be right up to your neck to it and say, I'm tired of that spirit of depression. I'm tired of that spirit of anxiety. I'm tired of that spirit of oppression that's come against my mind every service. God, I've had enough of it. I have a discernment, God, that says it's your will, and I don't live with that kind of oppression. Somebody say amen. Well, Brother Estes, I come down and prayed last week. You need to come down and pray again. You need to have a determination again. You need to believe God again. Oh, and if you're content with it, the devil's more than willing to let you keep it. Just sit right there. Just stay on that nail. Doesn't hurt bad enough yet. I mean, the worst thing you can ever do in a service is to draw attention to yourself. Well, if you do it for selfish reasons, that's pride. But this is still a Pentecostal church. This is still a Pentecostal church, and we still believe in people stepping out, and we still believe in people being led by the Spirit of God, and we still believe if we need to stop and let every last one of the saints of God come around you and pray for, that's okay here. We do that here. We believe we can have an experience with what we've had an exposure to. We believe God can personally meet our needs. Can you say amen? We believe. And every now and again, when everybody else says, I'm through, not because you're trying to wear out the saints, but because you got a real genuine need, you can lock a hold of God. And whether they're playing a fast song, guess what? And whether they're playing a slow song, you can still get a hold of God. Say amen. Oh, God, give us desire. Oh, God, give us discernment. Oh, God, give us determination. Lord, let us ask. Let us seek. Let us knock. Lord, let us ask. Let us seek. Let us knock. Let us find you. You know what you knock on, don't you? You won't be able to see this. Here's what you don't knock on. You don't knock on doors that are already open. You can. We talk about you, but you can. Oh, say amen. You know we would. Come on here. How about the mystery door knocker tonight, huh? You don't look at doors that are already open and try to knock on those. You look at doors that you know there has been a desire in your heart. You know God has spoke to you. You know your motive is pure. And you look at that door that's shut and you say, in the name of Jesus, it is not your will to stay shut. In the name of the Lord, it is not your will that they die lost. In the name of the Lord, it's not your will that we live sick. In the name of the Lord, it's not your will that we live with that depression. When you know it's God, when you know it's the Lord, you gotta get a hold of God and press in and pray. Help me, honey, tonight. Give us souls again. I don't mind. Whatever it takes to shake loose a little bit and to find God and say, oh God, I've got a desire to seek the Lord. I've got a desire to seek God. Lord, I'm not doing this to bring attention to me. I'm not doing this, God, because I want personal. I'm doing it because I know it's God's will. I'm doing it because you said I'll give you life and life more. Isn't that amazing scripture? He's looking at people that are living and he said, I've come to give you life. They're not living, they're existing. Jesus didn't come to say, I come to help you exist. He said, I come to give you life. In your deepest, darkest hour, in the time of your greatest trial, in the time of your biggest mountain, I come to breathe on you. When Brother Estes said, I didn't get anything last week. You keep on pressing in. You keep on pressing on. And you know what? It may be in the Sunday after revival. It may be 2 months after revival. Is that okay? It may be 6 months. It may be tonight. If we would just ask, if we would just seek, if we would just knock. You can start any time you like, Sister Harry. Got a friend of mine, Brother Brian. His name's Tommy Castle. And it's been a year since I'd seen Tommy Castle. He walked in the back of that church. I was up on the rostrum. He come rushing up to me. He grabbed me, squeezed me tight, said, good mercy. Zanus! I said, Tommy Castle, how many years has it been, friend? Oh, brother, I love you. Good to see you. I said, what's this? Got three beautiful children. One's about, I guess she's about 14. The middle boy is about 11. The youngest boy is all of about 9. He puts his arm around that young boy. And he says, you got time for a story, Brother Zane? I said, I do for you, Tommy. He said, we was 4 months expecting with this little boy. Went in for that routine checkup. And they ran that ultrasound and they said, Mr. Castle, your child has no brain. Go ahead and abort it and get it over with. He looked back at that doctor. He shook his head. He said, sir, we're not going to do that. No, no, no. And that doctor said, why, son? And Sister Norvale, he looked back at him. His words were, sir, we believe in prayer. He said that doctor looked at him as if to say, you young fool. Walked out of that room. He said, it's an hour drive back to our house. My wife's crying the whole time. We go back that 5th month. He said, they run the scan again and they said, Mr. Castle, we're telling you, no brain. He said, it come back to 6 months. Doctor looked at him another time and said, Mr. Castle, how many times do we have to tell you, abort this child, get this trauma over with? And he said, sir, I'm going to tell you once more time, we believe in prayer. He said, Brother Zane, I went in for the 7th month. He said that nurse just kind of rolled her eyes and started doing what she needed to do. He said that monitor screens turned away from me. And he said about that time her eyes got big as saucers. He said she just stepped back, pushed a button, never said a word. Doctor walked in that room, turned around to the other side, looked at her and said, she just shrugged her shoulders. And he said, about that time my stomach starts turning and every devil in hell is screaming in my ear words like toxemia, words like cancer, and saying, you young fool, why didn't you just take this and get it over with? Look at you, what do you think you're doing? He said, that doctor looked at me and the only thing he said to me was, stay right here. Let me in that room, he said, for 45 minutes. Brad, he said, he come back. Only thing he said to us was, come with us. He said, I walked down a long hallway, Brother Zane. He said, I made a left, turned down, went a long hallway there. He said, we walked into a room. He said, I looked up and he said, on the perimeters of that, on that building, there was white coat doctors all around and every one of them staring at me and my wife. You could hear a pin drop in there. Big old monitor screens all around the sides of that walls. And the doctor said, Mr. Castle, this is the only thing I can tell you. Month number 4, no brain. Month number 5, no brain. Month number 6, no brain. Month number 7, fully developed brain instead of that child of yours. Friend, all I know
His God is a prayer answering God. Come here, Oliver. Come on, Bubba. Come here. Come here, son. He put his arm around that boy and squeezed him up to him like only a daddy can do. And he said, I just want to let you know, Brother Estes. He said, they just tested my boy for gifted and talented. And if you're really smart, you make about 110. He said, my boy just scored 130. When God does it, he does it right. I said, when God does it, he does it right. He knows how to answer prayer. He knows how to answer prayer. He knows how. He knows how. Somebody lift your hands to heaven and call on the name of the Lord. Stand with me all over this house tonight. Stand with me all over this house tonight. Somebody begin to worship God. Somebody begin to praise the Lord. Is there anybody in this house that says God is stirring me with a desire again? I have got a need, and there's a God that can answer it. If that's you, why don't you step out from where you're standing? Why don't you lift your hands across this front, and why don't you call on the name of the Lord? Hey! You're in this house. You say, Brother Estes, I've got a need in my life. And God's stirring upon me. And I want God to search my motives. And I believe it's right. And I believe it's pure. If that's you, I want you to step out. Come on, come on. I didn't ask how big it was. I didn't ask how small it was. But I want you to come. Come on, here they are. Here's a couple over here. There's somebody else. Don't you just quit looking around at somebody else and say, Lord, I've got a need in my life. Here's another one over here. Here's somebody over here. Come on, church. Come on, can we start gathering? There's come over here. We need to start gathering and praying. We need some sisters that lay hands on some of these sisters. We need some brothers that lay hands on some of these brothers. God, stir us again with a holy desire. Stir us again with a holy fire. Stir us again to pray. Jesus, in the name of the Lord.